the foundation for our lives. And so today we have a special speaker. John Bailey, my son-in-law, is going to bring the message. And so I just thank the Lord that we have him today. Okay, thank you. Come, John.
All right, well, thank you, Pastor. I tell you, I don't know if it was just me, but wasn't that a special blessing, all those songs that we had that just resonated with me? Just, how many of us have had that mountain in our way in life, and there's no other way around it? But we praise the Lord anyway, and then we believe, and the mountain gets out of our way. But, all right, let me get my notes ready here. Oops, went offline. I got to fix it. Okay, got it. Made me nervous there. Well, before I start, I'd just like to, if you could just help me a little bit. I want to just pray for the Lord's anointment and anointing. I feel like he really showed me some things that he wanted me to bring across. And I know that myself, as a speaker, I'm not worthy, but I just want to do what the Lord wants me to do. And I know that somebody, he wants somebody to hear it. So if you would, I'm just going to pray. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to come before you, before your church, Lord. And Lord, you know that I listened and I tried to put together the message that you'd have me bring, Lord. But I ask that you give me the anointing, Lord, so that I may bring forth and just share and help and to deliver the message, Lord, that you want to be delivered, Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name with all glory and honor to you, my Lord. Amen. All right. Well, I'll just start off and tell you the title of this. It is That You, Lord? Is That You, Lord? So, you know, and I'm going to say this, and I know this is something we've all heard and we've all known, and this is a little bit extra. I was thinking, I just kind of wanted to say it before I got started. But we know that, if I can just say this, who believes that we're living in the end times? I do. And we've been saying that for a long time, but even since I was a young child. And it's been true. But now, more than ever, you see the things that go on in the world, politics and wars, society, and we don't know. Sometimes we have to learn to just give our trust over to the Lord and know that He's going to direct our path. But we want to be able to hear what it is that He's saying to us, and how do I navigate all this that I'm hearing and all these challenges that I have. So it's important to know, and that's why I entitled this, Is That You, Lord? How can we know? How can we receive our blessing and get that guidance from the Lord as we go through this life, the more challenges that are thrown before us? And it will be more challenging. As Christians, we're going to go through more and more until the Lord comes to take us away. And we want to make sure that we're ready and that we can hear His voice and do what pleases Him. So there are many voices out there. We've got the devil, the world, imaginations. Other people can come and tell us and give us advice. And then, of course, God talks to us and gives us advice and gives us direction on what we should do. There's millions of Christians that we want to know what is the voice of God. We want to know how I can distinguish His voice from all this background noise, like on a radio, all these other static coming through. How can I hear God? How can I be comfortable and know this is what God wants me to do? Well, luckily for us, the Lord has given us some clear biblical guidelines on helping us to discern God's voice. And I went through, and my plan was, when He put this on my heart, was to go through and try to find just scriptures that support and help direct us and give us that direction to go when we're evaluating and listening to the Lord and making sure we're not being taken down the wrong path. So in Proverbs 15:22, it tells us, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. So in the King James Version, it's a little different. It sounds a little different, means the same thing. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. So what that's saying to us is, it can be risky to hear just one voice, just to hear, think I hear something, or maybe one person gives me a word, and it's just the one voice. And it's risky to go ahead on just that one voice. So for an example, when I was doing some reading for this, I read several stories and several different accounts. And there was this one young man that he asked the Lord if he should go to Alaska and work on the pipelines. So that was his request. And he said, but he tried to make it easy for God. He said, "I'll tell you what, Lord, if you get me the job there, I'll know that it's you, and then I'll go." Well, the problem with that was, this young man had a top certification of the type of work that they needed on that pipeline. So it was almost a guarantee that he was going to be hired because he was in great demand. Well, that's not an example of someone that is using a multitude of voices. He kind of set it up where he can't lose. Did he really want to just go there and he wanted to feel that God told him to go there, or was he really listening to God? So now if you look at that, by contrast, there was another story where there was a minister that was flying on an airplane. And while he's flying on the airplane, he feels that the Lord spoke to him and said, "I want you to move west, and I want you to join this church that's starting out there, and I want you to be part of the team that helps to plant that church." So his question is that really you, God? Are you telling me that? Or is that just something that I would like to do? So in contrast to the previous example, what he did was, he brought the matter, or brought the decision, to three other pastors. And he was seeking a multitude of counsel. All right, in doing this, he was getting some input, some godly input from spiritual brethren. And so he continued waiting upon the Lord, and ultimately he had his confirmation. So what he did was he followed the biblical direction to seek several reputable counselors and prayerfully determine if that was God speaking to him. And then he confirmed it that he was, and he did go and join this ministry, and they did quite well, and it was a blessing. So that just shows you that's one of the ways that you can go through if there's a question, because, again, we have so much static coming through and so many things coming through into our mind and in our heart. We need to know what it is that God wants us to do. So in 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, "The man without the Spirit does not accept things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned." So the things of God are spiritually discerned. So back with Peter, it was not flesh and blood or his knowledge or his intelligence that let him see who Jesus was and know that he was the Lord and the Messiah. It was the Spirit that discerned it within him. That was the way that he knew. So you have to be careful not to intellectualize or emotionalize what you hear or how you feel about the gospel. We must let our spirit guide us and have our discernment lead our path. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that, our emotions or our intellect mean nothing. It does, but we want to be able to channel it through and always check it with the Lord and with what our biblical principles are. So what I did was I went ahead and went through the Bible and found some things that I think are good considerations for us when we're thinking, when we feel like we have a word from the Lord or a direction from the Lord, and I'm going to proceed down that path. Here's some considerations I can make. So when I hear these words, I know that they are spiritually discerned, like we just talked about. Deep down in the realm of our spirit, you're going to be able to feel it. That is where the Spirit of God speaks to us. As in Romans 8:16, the Spirit testifies himself with our spirit that we are God's children. So you'll have that peace and that calmness, and you'll have that easiness about it in your spirit. And so another thing that you can do, or that we should do, is walk in the Spirit. If I want to hear from the Lord and be able to hear clearly from the Lord, I have to be walking in the Spirit. I have to live in the Spirit. I have to seek things spiritually over natural or carnal things. Well, a lot of that is stuff, and I get wrapped up in that myself. I see things on the news, or I hear things on the radio, or I see things online, and it gets into my mind, and I'm thinking, oh, how bad this is and how bad that is. But I shouldn't be doing that, because that's just messing me up. That's traffic. That's clutter that's getting into my head. I should keep my eyes on the Lord and know that He ultimately is the winner, and He's going to direct our path, and He's not asleep. He sees what we do. He sees what happens to us, and He's in control of it. So that's one of the ways that I do to help me feel and get back in my spiritual focus. Now, Romans 12:2 tells us, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." So that makes us think, is our mind renewed? How do we renew our mind? Again, staying in prayer, reading the scriptures, making that part of our daily life. That's our daily routine. And we're going to do that and have our minds and think upon the Lord and meditate upon the Lord. There's this concept, some people call it the paradigm. It's the way you think, the way you perceive things. And I often talk about just kind of what my background is. What is my knowledge? What am I currently doing? How am I living my life? That's going to affect my paradigm. That's going to affect my mental filter that I look at the world with. So I'll give you an example. There was this one man that shared his faith with a coworker. And he told the coworker, he says, "You know, I think it would be great if you would read the Gospel of John, and that would help you." And so the coworker did that. But this coworker was steeped in occultism. That was his reference point. That's what he did. That's how he viewed the world. And because of that, he misunderstood. He did not get the message that was being given to him by the Lord. And he completely missed the truth. But on contrast to that, there was a great minister that was well known to, you know, I'm going to get to that in just a moment. I want to let you know, I don't want to leave you hanging. But this young man that was steeped in occultism that originally rebuffed and did not understand, after a couple years, he did become born again. So he was brought into the church. So there were seeds still planted when he read that. The devil tried to confuse him, trying to bring in all this other stuff so he doesn't understand it. But there were seeds planted by the word. Then ultimately he became born again. All right. And then another thing we like to do is, like in Psalms 37:4, it says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." We've all heard that scripture. We take that and we claim that scripture. But the question is, are the desires of my heart from God? Right? So to answer this, you ask yourself, am I delighting myself in the Lord? Am I putting Him first? Is He my delight in the day? Or is He just one of many things that I do? Do I focus upon the Lord? Do I think upon the Lord? Do I seek to do the things that are going to be delightful to the Lord? The Bible says, if I delight myself in Him, He will give me the desires of my heart. So one of my desires of my heart would be to hear, and all of us would be to hear God's voice and hear it clearly, know how to act and react. In Philippians 2:13, it says, For it is God who works in you to will and act according to His good purpose. So I think that's great. So it's telling me that if I'm submitted to God, He will actually work in me, not just to do His will, but actually desire to do His will. So I was thinking about that quite a bit. And this is what hit me, is that, you know, we kind of interpret that sometimes, and maybe I did as I was younger, and maybe even still do, but the desires of my heart. What are the desires of my heart? Well, you know, I think my one desire is I'd like a big stack of gold right here. And maybe over here, I like a brand new Ferrari, something over there. And maybe over here, I want to be whatever. Whatever it is, that's the desires of my heart. That's not what He's talking about. The desires of my heart that come from my heart, okay, He will literally give us those desires. So now my desires are in line with what the Lord's will is for me. I am delighting in the Lord, and the things that I'm seeking are in alignment with His will. So it doesn't matter what my carnal wants and needs are. What really matters is that my desires, and I pray that my desires line up, and then He will give me the desires of my heart. So again, it's about our relationship with the Lord. It's going to determine if our will's lined up and then give us a chance to better know and better understand God's voice to us. In Isaiah 8, 19 and 20, when men tell you to consult with mediums and spiritualists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult with the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. So, that's another thing, another consideration. Does this voice, this direction that I'm hearing, does it agree with God's word? I mean, I just think it's so ridiculous, but how many times have you seen on TV or on the radio, perhaps, of these advertisements about spiritualists? You know, 1-800, call a psychic. People actually do those things. And not only is it completely fruitless, but it's against the Word of God. And we don't have to do that. And I know none of us would ever even think of doing that. But we have our voice in our direction. So, as an, you know, there's an example that years ago, there were three young men that were Bible students. And they became involved in a kind of a heretical cult-like organization. And they started thinking that they were beyond the need to refer to the Bible and to look to the Bible because God was just going to talk to them directly. And well, needless to say, that's an erroneous belief. You cannot separate God's word and his direction from the Bible and what's biblical. And you know how people can get thrown off and hear these different words, and that's where how cults get started. As a matter of fact, there is some. I was reading another article, and you know, there's been various movements, of course, throughout the years, and there's one particular movement was given itself really to focus on prophecy, which is fine, which is wonderful. God does give us the word, and He does have people prophesy in His name, but this particular movement kind of degenerated to the point where everybody was just prophesying as a way of speaking. And, like, for example, somebody might likely walk up to you and say, well, God told me that you're supposed to divorce your husband and you're supposed to be with this person over here. Or you're supposed to leave your wife and you're supposed to go over here. Things like that. And they say, God told them. They maybe really believe that. And they tell you, and you say, what do we do? How do I know? I go back to one of these other principles. That is not biblical. So right there, we know. With all good intent that they may have, if that's the prophecy, that's not from God. Because that is not in alignment with His Word. His Word and His leading will always line up with the principles of the Bible. So in Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So there we know, again, that God speaks to our spirit. Sometimes it's that still, small voice within. If it truly is wisdom that is from above, it will be pure and peaceable and gentle, as in James 3:17. God's voice is gracious, merciful, peaceable. If the voice you are hearing is unlike that, then you know that you have every reason to hold off and continue seeking God's will. In Corinthians 14:29, it tells us two or three prophets should speak and the others should weigh carefully what is said. You know, sometimes people, they might have a word or they might prophesy, but they don't really want to be challenged on it because, you know, this is what God said, and I don't want you to ask me any questions. Well, we know that the truth always submits itself for judgment and review. Because the truth, if it's true, you don't have to worry about anybody being able to disprove it because it's true. So, you should accept no prophecies or revelations that close the door to spiritual discernment. If someone says, no, just take it what I'm saying. No, you have your spiritual discernment. And also the judgment of other mature believers that can agree with you. So there was, it's been some time back, but there was this minister who was a true, you know, just an icon in the church, a true prophet of God. Of course, now he's gone on to be with the Lord. But he was asked one time, he says, if he mind, they asked him if he minded other people judging his prophecies when he prophesied. Did he mind other people questioning him or asking him questions? And he said, very nicely and politely, he said, of course not. Right? Because he was a very mature Christian man and he knew that his ministry must be subject to the wisdom and the judgment of other mature Christians. That's how we keep ourselves on the path. So in 1 Corinthians 14:33, we hear another very good consideration to think about when we're evaluating this word from the Lord. That God is not a God of just order, but of peace. And in King James it says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. So, okay, what does that do? That tells us then if I have a decision to make, I feel like the Lord's directing me to do something. Should I do this or should I do that? Or should I say yes or should I say no? And God's giving me this direction. I want to make sure that I fully understand it. So what are the things that I do? Prayerfully, I'm going to get together with godly counsel and take that input that I'm receiving and use that to start forming my opinion and my decision. And so as I make my decision, I think to myself, does this give me peace or does this give me confusion? Am I comfortable with this decision? Does it make me feel at peace or am I still up in the air? Am I still worried about it? Am I still pondering it? If peace comes to you, then okay, we'll continue. We'll continue down that path and thinking that this is what the Lord wants me to do. If it's confusion, that gives us a reason to pause and consider and really get back into prayer and really find out what the direction is. Because we know that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. You're going to feel peace in your heart if you're hearing from God. Otherwise, if you experience that confusion, perhaps it could be doubts or questioning, then that gives you further reason to get back into the Bible and seek the Lord for His direction. So when it comes down to it, if we think to ourselves, was that the voice of God? Did God speak to me? Was he the one that told me that, or was that just my idea? Was he the one that told me that, or was that just something I saw somewhere, heard somebody else say, and I really bonded with that? But I think it is God. And so what am I going to do? So first, it's going to be confirmed by a multitude of counselors. I'll seek out my Christian brethren and mature Christians, and a few, and I will share it with them, and they will give me counsel. Then I'm going to go and I'm going to say, okay, is this spiritually developed or is this carnally discerned? Is this something that I just want to do because I like to do it, or is it something that I want to do because it's what the Lord's telling me to do? So that's a consideration. Another consideration, as we looked previously through the scriptures, is you ask yourself, is my mind renewed? Am I in the Word? Do I have a relationship with the Lord? Or am I judging this by the world's standards? So maybe it's you're thinking about, well, am I going to take this job or I'm going to take that job? Or this job over here is going to give me a great salary and I'm going to do that. And then I'm tempted to do that. Well, that must be what God wants me to do. He's going to do that. Well, I'm starting to weigh that out by the world and by the carnal world. I'm weighing that out by how much I'm going to get out of it and how good it's going to be for me. Not that God doesn't want us to have good things. But he wants us to listen to him and follow his word because we spiritually discern it, not because of all the evidence that we see from the world. And so another consideration is, like kind of like what we're saying here, is how is your relationship with the Lord? I mean, currently, when you're hearing these things, are we delighting in him? And I was thinking to myself, what does that mean, delighting in the Lord? Well, it probably means different things to different people, but to me, it means that I'm in my walk with the Lord, and I'm close to the Lord, and I'm starting to think on things with the Lord, and thinking, what can I do that will please the Lord? I want to think about the Lord. I mentioned one time, and it's happened to me, probably not as much as I'd like, but things like this. I mean, I've had times when you wake up in the middle of the night, and as I'm waking up, I'm singing a hymn, you know, which is unusual for me because I usually don't walk around singing all the time. But you know, that just means I'm delighting in the Lord. He's with me all the time, whether I know it or not. All right. And that kind of goes along with does this voice agree with the Word of God? Again, does it line up with scriptural reference? That's an easy way to do it. You get this message, you get this Word that you feel, this direction, get into the Word. Is there anything about this that is not quite on all points with what the Lord has told us in the Word? And also, probably the most important thing is, when I talked about the peace that comes from the decision when you realize it's God directing you. It's this consideration is the Holy Spirit is going to witness to your spirit. That's what the discernment is. Am I open to the Holy Spirit telling me and guiding me and giving me that peace? Even if it's something that intellectually I think I don't want to do that. Or maybe I can't do that. That's where I was thinking about these songs that we were singing. Sometimes we see these things and God wants you to do something and you're like, well, I would do it, but there's a big roadblock here and I can't do it. So maybe you want me to do it later. No, that's not what he means. We go ahead. If he wants us to do it, we're going to say, mountain, get out of my way. Right, just like the song said. All right, and so the question, was that God's voice or not? So James 3, 14 through 17. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfishness and ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. That's James 3, 14 through 17. So that gives us a lot of great insight right there about how we can discern our message. Wisdom, is this wisdom, is it from heaven? Is it pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere? So if it's pure and wholesome, is it godly? Yeah. Is it holy? Okay. Then that's a good sign. Is this leading that I'm giving, is it peace-loving? Is it likely to bring greater peace, or is it going to cause a lot of problems? Now, sometimes God wants us to mix things up a little bit, and maybe we ruffle a few feathers, but that's not what I'm talking about. Does this in general, is this idea or this leading that I'm taking, is it going to cause peace or is it going to cause disorder? All right. Then we'll also look at it, is it considerate to the rights of others? Okay. You know, that's part of it, because that wouldn't bring peace if I did not consider other people's parameters or whatever they're doing or what their roles are. If I don't consider that, that could bring disorder. So that might be a consideration as I'm thinking about this leading. Is this leading full of mercy or is it judgmental? Boy, that's a lot. So full of mercy, yes, we would like to think this could be merciful, but maybe what I'm thinking is it kind of saying, well, they're not doing it right, so therefore God wants me to step in there and do it. Well, that could be true. But it's a little bit judgmental because I'm making a decision that they're not doing it right. And that's just a consideration that I take as I go back and get biblically founded and get on my prayer life and try to discern if that's the direction I should go. All right. Is this leading sincere? King James Version says, is it without hypocrisy? So is it consistent to the way that with things that I say and how I live my life? You know, you hear so many stories about individuals or even people could be in leadership that they will espouse a certain belief or they will have a certain criteria or a certain standard that they're admonishing you to uphold, but they themselves aren't doing this if you look behind the scenes. And so that when you're doing that person needs to get themselves into alignment with the Lord and with what the Bible says and what they're discerning through their spirit. So when evaluating if something is leading for the Lord, again, other considerations. Is it earthly? Does it have a sense of earthly or carnal? That's what I was talking about. Is I'm making a decision, or like that one gentleman that wanted to go to Alaska. Sounded to me like he really just wanted to go to Alaska, so he set it up. Well, he would feel like God told him to go to Alaska because he knew that if I put in my application with all these certifications that I have and all this experience that I have, I'm going to be taken. Well, that's, you're thinking carnal. You're thinking earthly. You're not thinking spiritual when you do that. And if it seems unspiritual, or is it, you have to say, does this seem unspiritual or does it seem like it's based on the Word of God? That's what we were talking about so heavily. It has to align with the Word of God. Sometimes things can be of the devil because one of those many voices of confusion, that static, that background that tries to overwhelm our minds and hearts when God's trying to speak to us is of the devil himself. It's the fiery darts. It's the doubts. It's the confusion. It's the he can just get you a little bit off, and then he's got you. So if you see even a hint that that's what's happening, then we know I'm going to reject that, and I'm going to get back on my knees and get back into the Word, and I'm going to seek discernment. And then there's also other elements. We've got envy. Sometimes maybe you're feeling a little left out. You're feeling, you know, God gives these guys this big ministry, and he gives these people over here have this big ministry. I'm going to have a big ministry. But if God wants us to have that, then we'll have that. And that's a whole nother topic that we could talk about. But don't let envy help you make that decision. Like, I want that too, so therefore I'm going to do it. We must always go back. Again, is it in alignment with God's Word? Every evil practice that tells us that we're supposed to look and think about as we evaluate this leading and say, is there a trace of evil associated with it? Kind of like I was saying, is my motivation off? And that's going to direct me. So to wrap it all up and in closing, I'm just going to say that, you know, it is indeed a blessing to go through life and not be alone and face the decisions and challenges of this world. As Christians, we never walk alone. Right? We have a counselor, a shepherd, and as we say, a friend that is closer than a brother. And that's our Lord. He's always with us. He walks with us. His Spirit guides our path. And when he speaks, we must be able to discern and erase the static and the other influences and the filter that we might overlay what he's telling us and really seek to discern his Word. We must be able to listen. So we reviewed several considerations that help us discern his will. But you know what? The most critical consideration is that we must know and follow Jesus. He has to be our Lord and Savior. That's where the origin of all this comes from. So if we haven't, or if you haven't, anyone here or anyone perhaps viewing on remotely, if you haven't made that decision to follow Jesus, and if you're still walking this earth alone, without anyone to turn to, without any guidance and direction, now is the time, in this day and age, when time is running out and things are getting more serious, or as the kids say, getting more real, right? Which is not time to joke around anymore. So now is the time to reach out to Jesus and be forgiven of your sin and be renewed. By his cleansing blood, you will walk with him and he will guide you as you seek to follow his good and perfect will. So we can go ahead and we'll go ahead and close. I'll just thank everyone for joining us at Living Waters Church in Casa Grande. I hope that the message resonates with you and that you received a blessing. And I pray that you have a wonderful week ahead, and we'll see you back again next Sunday. Okay. I was going ahead and ending that there, but I'd like us all to take a moment to think about our walk with the Lord. And believe me, I know, as I look about, you know, I see many prayer warriors here. And I know that we all know, yes, we know how to hear from God. And we've heard from God. But are we fully immersed? Are we delighting ourselves in the Lord? Are we putting him first and really allowing him? And I would ask that if Pastor Halsey would come up and perhaps lead us in a prayer as we search our hearts and search and just kind of think to ourselves, how can I get back to that place? How can I stay in that place where I'm sensitive and can hear from the Lord?